The Justin Robert Young podcast is brought to you by Over. Oh, crap. The thing. Here, we'll do it one more time. The Justin Robert Young podcast is brought to you by 286 of the raddest people on the planet. Should they all die at once, then we would weep for a million years. Wink! Hey guys, what's up? It's me. It's Justin Robert Young. Oh man. Normally I start the show a little higher energy than this. You know, normally there's a lot of yelling and you know, I just say a bunch of like, oh, this is the craziest day of my life and the archangel just jizzed his mouth. But I'm tired. I'm so very tired. I come to you live. Not only on DiamondClub.tv and the podcasting place of your choice, but also live and direct from Austin, Texas, where I'm joined by the people that really need to buttress this podcast from fucking falling over, because otherwise, after we've had this epic South by Southwest experience, I would just fall asleep. That's what I want to do right now. So what do we do? When we are about to deliver a shitty subpar version of the show, you got to go to the fam. You got to go to the friends. We're fucking pulling out another Brepisode, which means I am joined by Brett the Amtrak of Roundsville.
I'm not sure that's the most flattering name for the
Brepisode?
Yeah.
It no, it's a little people bit have like loved the Brepisodes.
I'm not saying they didn't love the Brepisodes, but do they love being called Brepisodes? Like, is that even a thing?
In Japan, it's considered a compliment to Brepisode after a big weekend.
I now, feel it sounds like acid shot out of your pancreatic bile systems. Right
now,
before you
now you
it.
Might think, wow, Brett, that's a really great, for those just audio listeners, that's a great ventriloquist act you're doing where you have this whole another voice. Like, it almost sounds like you're talking to somebody else.
You mean the
else.
Times where sometimes I talk like,
Brepisode.
But you'd be fooled if that were the case, because it's not Brett doing a ventriloquist act. That's my co-host on Night Attack and so many other things. What's your name again?
Brian Brushwood.
Oh, Brian. Oh, good. Yeah. That's a good name. Yes,
I put reminder initials behind you just in case you miss them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Fuck, man. We had a hell of a weekend. You know, South by Southwest was here. We did the South by South Wasted event. We shot a fucking music doc. Things were just fucking on top of it, man. Like, it was a wild time.
A lot happened, and there was this weird moment where it's like I was terrified something was terribly wrong because I wasn't terrified.
That things were just like they were so fucking wild and willy-nilly, but they've been so wild and willy-nilly for so long that there's just like no worry about it anymore.
Yeah, well, and it's like you have this vague understanding, you know, last year we had no idea how many people would come out to the event. So it's like, you know, we got people, period. But then it's like, well, are we going to do the same thing? How are we going to beat last year? It's a terrifying problem to have.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, sure enough, man, we had a hell of a turnout. People were super stoked about it. Easily the best version of the best concert from the Possum Posse I've ever seen, full stop, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's amazing that all of that started with like a 4 a.m. night And we were still just cruising through like it was nothing.
Yeah. That's what that
that's,
is.
That's the exhaustion. It's not the drinking. Yeah. It's just the, oh, the God. Sleep.
Well, it's a sleep deprivation. And then also the fact that it's happened, it was like, it's been, what, 4 nights in a row that we haven't gotten to sleep until like 4 o'clock in the morning. Because that's the thing is like last night wasn't even a lot of drinking. Like, I mean, it was a lot of drinking during the day.
It wasn't even a lot of drinking. I got blackout drunk.
Yeah.
And then I had tons of time to recover. So that really doesn't count as drinking. There was recovery time built in.
I used to be in this adult kickball league, like in Florida, that was a very tremendously unique experience because you'd be out there at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You'd go and just get, it's in downtown Fort Lauderdale within like walking distance of all the bars. Play kickball for a little bit. It's enough to just get your kind of like competitive Irish up. And then you just walked right on over and did as the Irish do. And just got
drank your enemies into friends.
But the problem is, or no, the benefit rather, is that when you get blackout drunk at 7:30 at night, you can have 14 hours to recover, and by the time that you're just coming out of it, you're like, oh, wait, it's just 2 o'clock. Like, I can actually have a functional Sunday still.
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend to everybody, is just go ahead and start getting wasted early. But now, last night we didn't tear it down bar-wise. Do you think, is there a point in your life that, like, just burning everything down bar wise just stopped becoming interesting?
You're talking about like just being mad out on the town, like we're drinking all the beer, we're going everywhere.
There was definitely a phase in my life where I if I was going out, it was probably a 50-50 chance, charitably, if not on the other side, that I would be at a bar when they were doing Last Call.
Yeah. Oh, you're really? Talking about duration. But see, it changes. I mean, we literally started drinking at noon, and then it's like, wait,
sure.
Well, I got it. I guess you still. I mean, we were what, 3-4 hours? Okay. All right. To me, you know what we should talk about.
What should we talk about?
Is less about how long we stayed at the bar.
Yeah.
And more about what we did when we got home, and how excited we were to do it.
Well, there's, you know,
yeah, let's really show America how boring we are.
Oh my God. All right. So here, let's get into this. So we're at the bar and now meanwhile, I'm doing what I would normally do. Like I mentioned, I am a long distance drinker.
Sure.
Like I, which it gets me in, this is why I black out. This is why I've blacked out many times in my life. Not because, I mean, certainly because I have very very weak impulse control. But also because there's very rarely with my friends, like, hey, man, let's just go home, you know, like just go hang out.
Oh, no, it's this constant doubling down. Like, we're like, oh, man, I see you have one of two fists empty here.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, oh, where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? There's just a lot of like my brother used to always makes fun of me and my friends because we're nomad drinkers. No bar is as cool as what the next bar will be.
Yes.
And yet they're all the same bar. It's always the exact same experience.
Like literally the same bar. Like you often walk around the block and come back and just give the owner and enough time to like move a sign.
Yeah. It is like the snake that eats itself, you know? But I'm gearing up. I'm fucking faded as fuck, right? Ashley is just getting into like...
Which, by the way, I mean, this is... I'm coming off of, from my perspective last night, seeing you nothing but, you know, on fire energy and just dominant enthusiasm at all times.
Yeah.
And so, and I remember saying to Bonnie, I was whispering, I was like, man, I got to tell you, I'd like to go home. And then I was, and you know, I was like, and Brett's like, I'm cool with whatever, because he's Brett, and he's literally cool with whatever. And then I asked Tom, and Tom's like, man, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because, I mean, I was going to be cool, you know, but honestly, I'd love to just have a quiet evening at home. And I was like, well, I guess, preferably, you know, and then we start making
nice
plans.
Yeah. Showing of the bridges of Madison County.
We start making plans to chip in and just say, hey, you guys can Uber when you get back, because it's, I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk to the party animal.
Yeah.
And so, and I walk over to Justin. I was like, hey, man, I think we're going to go. If you want an Uber or something, you know, you can get a ride home, right?
To which he says, oh, thank Christ.
Exactly. That was the part I didn't expect.
Yeah. Well, because a couple of things that happened. Number one, I'm just like, all right, like, this is just what I do, and I don't have it in me to be like, hey, I would like to initiate the let's go home talk. Like,
right.
That's just something that, for whatever reason, is just not going to come out of my mouth. And Ashley is starting to exhibit the, like, no, we are past the point of fun, drunk. Now we're into, like, and not that she would be behaviorally a problem, but just, like, knowing her limit. Like, this is where she would be like, oh, no, I shouldn't have gone past this point.
Why didn't you tell me not to have that last drink?
Exactly. Well, and also because she was in the slipstream of liquor drinks.
Oh, dude.
You know, as soon as you can't taste, Ashley has the immortal line with wine. As soon as the wine tastes like grape juice, you've had too much fucking wine.
Yeah.
Like, and they're
respect your drink.
Exactly. No, you had your drink respecting. What was your drink respecting story that you told earlier?
It was actually here in Austin, like way before I even knew Brian. And like some guy made me a drink at a party, and I took a sip and I was like, oh, that's really good. And he like took it out of my hand, poured more liquor into it and handed it back to me and goes, that's bad. You gotta respect your drink.
Well, listen, man, you do. And sometimes, you know, when you're fucking blotto and all of a sudden all the drinks kind of taste alike, you throw them down with a way higher frequency. And when you're talking about liquor drinks, especially like South by Southwest, Sixth Street Bar, they want to make sure that they're pouring, you know, decent drinks because they're like, you know, bartenders are, you know, it's like it's a bartender town, you know. It's a problem. So when Brian comes up and he's like, oh, shit, we're going to go. I'm like, fucking, oh, God, that's fucking great. That's so good. But it's like you just brought fire to a land without that level of technology.
And by the way, we are surrounded by people older and younger than us who are just more willing to keep the party going. And it's like, it's of all the people to be the ones who are like, we want to go home. It's like, I felt bad.
So tired.
Well, also, it's like part of it is everybody that I wanted to see by and large, I had seen at that point. That would be the other reason to go out to parties. And like the what would be for many the kind of glittering lore of like the South by Southwest party scene.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I've had enough of that. Like,
you have had all the experiences. You have now played as all the categories of South by Southwest attendee now.
Except for badge holding South by Southwest yes, attendee.
Which is the one part you're least interested in.
I have no interest in doing that. But it's been crazy interesting to like experience all like from like super like thirsty, like, oh man, I really want to get to that party. Like, oh, we really cool. Can we get on some lists? Like, you know, and that was fun the first couple years that we were just like sneaking into places and passing back badges and you know,
once
stuff
you
like
know
that.
Enough people in the scene too, it just becomes a lot of work to see everyone. Like, everyone's at a different party. You have to go through the effort of getting to that place where that party is and getting on the list and everything. It's just like, oh my God, I worked really hard for this like warm beer right now.
Yeah. I worked really hard to get in this line that maybe I'll get served sometime in the next 10 minutes.
Right. Well, and then also it's like you have these conversations that like we had just had an afternoon of the conversations that you have with the people that you care about. Right. I said maybe 17 words to Veronica Belmont.
Yeah.
You know, and Veronica is someone I would consider a very good friend. And like I say 4 words to her. Just because you're moving around, it's big, it's crowded, it's loud. You can't really have any kind of like actual friend conversations. You're literally just saying like 5 things to them and moving on.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's like, all right, so there are a few people that were there we didn't get to see. Like, we didn't get to see Sarah Lane or anything. I'd like to go see Sarah. But like at the same time, A, I fucking live within 5 miles of her. So if I really want to see Sarah Lane, it could literally happen at any time. Number two. What are we gonna do? I mean, we can't talk about anything. Like, name the last substantive, like, beyond like a networking. Like, it was. I had never met Dan Benjamin. I got to meet Dan Benjamin.
Yeah,
shook his hand, made a face to face connection. We both acknowledged that we know who each other are. Like, and now I can feel comfortable sending him an email. Great for that. But if I was fucking catching up, like, can you remember the last time that you ran into an old friend at a South by Southwest party and, like, reconnected on a meaningful level?
Weirdly, I would say yesterday, or was it? Because I saw because we moved production of Scam School to Austin, Texas,
yeah.
And I now do that. And so as a result, it hit me yesterday that I had not seen my boss in 2 years. And so I'm like, oh, shoot, these are all my bosses. And we actually got to chat for like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, I didn't have to fly out to San Francisco. I didn't have to enter a conference code to have this conversation. I'm able to look in his eyes and see what parts of this he's finding interesting. It was extremely valuable, just as short as it was.
I think if you're going to reconnect
but
with
that's
friends,
business stuff.
South
by, right?
Yeah, correct. Well,
I think if you're going to reconnect with friends at South By, the only way to do it is like you run into them. You're like, hey, bro, I haven't seen you in forever. Why don't I give you a call next week when we're both back in Oakland?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the other thing is that literally it's like for Austin, this is a hassle of massive proportions in terms of the amount of people down there. And so like you are in a scene for which like if you have a lot of friends in the Bay Area and you live in Austin, South by Southwest is fun because you get to see all your friends and they all come down at one time.
Correct.
You know? But if you don't, then it's just a major hassle. And if you're from the Bay Area,
it's just a reminder of what a shitty friend you are.
Exactly.
And how you never actually call anyone.
That we all had to come down into here. To see, like, oh, that's great. Like, I sent Veronica a picture from the thing, and it's like, you know, as soon as like, we get done with the podcasting, I just want to be like, hey, fucking suck to like see you for like 5 seconds. Like, let's actually go get coffee.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
For the rest of the next 3 weeks in Oakland and San Francisco, it will all just be the reconnections
of
South By.
Like, I acknowledge that I was a terrible friend. Let's just meet up.
Yes. So that you can let those wither and die on the vine shortly after.
Right.
What had been your... Oh, anyway, so we get back. So all of a sudden, Brian's
the
like,
one place where we can actually have a conversation together, where we can get back
on a podcast
together.
Oh, getting back home. I thought you meant literally right now.
Oh, no. So this has been kind of a tradition, though, that like, well, normally what has happened the last several South by Southwest is everybody comes back here, usually are putting up a few more people.
Yeah.
And everybody comes back here.
Last year was the point where we realized this geometric growth is no longer sustainable. The parties back at my place were getting bigger and bigger and more insane. And then last year...
No, you... By the way,
he's actually
you,
talking about his third kid, not South By.
Yeah.
But you summon this genie. I remember one time, if we do the fucking The Wayne's World... the phrase nearly verbatim was said to me, hey, man. You don't buy a house this big with this many rooms unless you love hosting as many people as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's still true. That's still true. But you know, throwing a party and hosting are two different things. Like, we could have had two or three more people sleeping here if they needed a place to stay.
No, but that's
knew.
Why the party happened.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Very rarely are there people that drive out so they can drive back to the city.
Correct.
Normally, it's just the ancillary, like, locals who are maybe not necessarily in the city and the people who are staying here.
Right.
And that party kind of filters its way back to your place. So what was, is there a vision that you have
of last year of
shit just getting too big?
Okay. First of all, I remember talking with Tom Merritt and looking out and I was like, the sun is up. and there's definitely a half empty bottle of Bullet rye whiskey in my hand.
Oh my God.
And then the real aftershocks, like, and I vaguely remember being utterly confused why I was in my hot tub and two copies of my wife come out. Because apparently out of the corner of my eye, she has a bathing suit, and I didn't know she had two copies of it.
Yeah.
And both Allie and Ashley borrowed them. And so I see Bonnie out of the corner of my eye, but there's two of her, and also neither of them are Bonnie. And the real aftershocks were days later when the lovely and talented Jackie Hearn, wanting to share the amazement of that time, posts a video of me drunk off my ass, standing on top of our hallway piano while Ali Spangol is playing Don't Stop Believin', and we're all screaming and singing off key as if it's a stereotype of a coked up party in the 1970s.
Oh, no, it was the Reefer Madness video.
It was.
Like,
it was literally.
It was fucking like, I mean, there was no pot being smoked, but it was like in if you just like put the black and white film grain, like it was like this is what the devil's weed does to you.
Well, and it was funny because like obviously I visibly cringed, and so did Alex Spagnola. And she's like, "Oh, you want me to take it down?" I was like, "Look, it happened. I'll own it, but." Ooh.
But and I don't wanna.
Boom! It was gone instantly, and I was like, "Oh God, thank you."
So that shuts down any kind of big, large-scale party situation this year.
Well, and plus also, like, you could see the videos where we all get into the studio, and it's like, it's not good content.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Oh, God, no. And it never has been. But it is always fun, like, just in, like, a big, sweaty, messy jam band kind of way.
That, absolutely.
Like, yeah, but, although, I guess
podcasting
that was really...
jazz.
Yeah, but that was really kind of before we all did shows together, too. Like, now it's like, you know, but back when we first started doing it, like, it was really fun for me to be on a show with, like, Tom and Veronica and stuff like that. And, like, now, I mean, that's, like, it's, like, not, like,
it's not
fun.
This
it's
pent-up desire, like, yeah. oh, this is my moment, it's happening!
Yeah, yeah. Or for other people who are fans of, like, different elements to see the kind of crossover.
The crossover,
stuff.
Yeah. But now we get a lot of cross-pollination.
There's a lot of it. Yeah. So you say... that, like, oh, man, I mean, we're not going to throw this party like we normally do. We're fucking all mega faded. We finally got fucking Justin, son of the alcoholic, to fucking admit that mortality's a thing. So let's go home and, you know, what do you think that we're going to do?
any guesses?
I mean, guesses? We could just go back and drink like we normally do, but that's kind of defeating the point, because if we wanted a big, fun alcohol situation, the bigger, funner alcohol situation is right where we are.
We're
not going to go to sleep, you know?
Well, like, I mean, it's not even 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, yeah, we very rarely see each other.
Gambling man in the chat says, rhymes with Barthstone.
Hope he put a lot of money down.
Warm your frozen boots by the fire.
Now, at this point, we come home, and it's kind of just this unspoken thing. Like, we just immediately start collecting all the iPads and all of the computers in the house and set them in a circle around the island in the middle kitchen.
Fucking flash forward to 10 minutes before that. Like, at the bar, part of your pitch of, like, your justification, I guess, for why you were leaving.
Yeah.
That's so something that I would understand when you were in the, like, hey, we'll buy you an Uber like phase. Like, hey, we're just going to go home and play Hearthstone. So, like, you can Uber back. And I'm like, what? No.
Wait. It's like, really quiet and really interesting. And we could do this all together?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we go and gather up all the tech, and we lay it out. And there's, like, 9 Hearthstone devices going at the same time. And we had, like, a weirdo, like, LAN party situation.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a LAN party for a late 30-somethings. And
exactly.
But it was amazing because it was the first time there was a dynamic where there was only 2 people who weren't familiar and currently, or I guess, no, Bryce as well. So it's Bryce, Brett, and Bonnie hadn't played Hearthstone. Everyone else had, but it's like at this point, massive peer pressure.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you're gonna love it, man. And it's like, you can see us opening up our kit.
I promise you're either gonna love it or you're sleeping outside tonight.
We pull out the syringe.
it was a fucking shooting gallery, bro. It was a H festival.
it was a case of, yeah, man, we did some H last night. It was a case where, like, you'll always remember your first time. This is it. Get ready.
It was fucking so rad. It was just like, and then we came up here and did our yearly kind of drunk stream. We weren't quite as drunk as we normally are.
It was pretty fun. It was pretty fun.
We weren't fucking nearly as drunk as when we started playing Hearthstone on the stream 3 days ago after Night Attack.
Oh yeah. Oh wait, where the I think there's that video over there is Jesus the card.
Jesus the card.
They called it out. There you go. That tab is you'll have to unmute it on the far right. There you go.
There we go.
There you go. Play this.
So this is let me see if I can switch.
There you go.
There we go. This is Brian and I playing Hearthstone after Night Attack.
Bet you didn't see this shit coming. Get ready for Jesus the card.
I can't do that. I can't do that.
He's frozen. Oh.
Why did you do that?
Dude, you get ready. This motherfucker is going to be a bad motherfucker once he get unfrozen. God damn it! Dude, still standing, bro. Come at me. All right, that works.
Clear the board.
Much like the actual Jesus, I was speaking in parables. This was the lesson you're supposed to take away.
Much like the actual Jesus, he built wings of wax and put it across the sun. I don't know. I'm not good at this.
And just like Jesus, after he stole fire from the gods, he was burned at the stake.
Just like Jesus, I feel like chicken tonight.
Get ready for Jesus the card. You've gotten Jesus the action figure.
So, I mean, for people who are listening, what he does is he has, and this, I'll keep this as brief with the Hearthstone shit, for fucking people who hate Hearthstone. But he's got one fucking minion that he puts two Blessing of Kings on, so that's +4/+4, twice, so it's +8/+8, except for the fact that he could have put it on two people, because he had another thing. So
or another guy
two.
Who wasn't currently frozen. Like, he was currently frozen, so only after building him up do I try to use him and realize that he's frozen in place.
Oh, fuck a doodle dude. All right, well, let's wrap it up with something that we've been doing on the show for the last few weeks. This has pretty much dominated the program, and really, it's sweeping the nation. They're called neon sign stories, stories in which you, as a youth, had in both of your cases, a female attention that you totally did not realize was being as obvious and blatant as you now, in hindsight, can look upon.
I think I told you my best one already.
On the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which one is it?
Which one is my story?
Yeah, tell it to me.
I told it on the show already.
So just all right here. So you give yours as an example for Brian, he knows.
So there was this girl that I went to high school with. I went to college like 3 hours away from where I went to high school. And so every once in a while I'd go back on the weekends and I would always be like, man, I'd really like to go see a movie with this girl. Man, she's a cute girl. I would love to go spend a little bit of time with this cute girl. But I was always like, man, wish she liked me. And then I remember very vividly getting in the mail a drawing that she had made of the two of us at college. So she sent it to my college. I got it in the mail, opened it, and was like, oh, she's so sweet. Wish she liked me.
That's pretty good. The only one that's popping into mind, it's pre-Bonnie. I guess I had met Bonnie, but only knew her as a friend of a friend, in sophomore year of college. As often happens, there's these spontaneous little, you know, get-togethers in rooms. You hang out. Maybe someone's got a bottle of vodka or something. And at some point, I had a relationship through high school, which we've alluded to, that left me angry by the time I got to college, right? So yeah. I went to college too angry to possibly be able to get anywhere with girlfriends or relationships. So as a result, freshman year, nothing happened, right?
Yeah.
But it was sophomore year, I was finally, you know, like chilled out, and I was like, okay. But still hadn't really decided how far, how fast I wanted to take anything.
Yeah.
But there was a girl who, you know, I guess at some point, and I can't trace the moment, but at some point we're holding hands at this party, and then I was talking about this is you want to talk about how to melt some panties? You bring up the fact,
melt panties,
that, yeah, with acid sploosh. No, I started talking about how I was using my computer to do 3D renderings. You're like, oh, that sounds really interesting, and I'm like, oh yeah, you use Vista Pro 2.0, and you can render landscapes, you can animate, and then you enjoy this way
just
too much.
Pause right here. Just so you know, the story that has like gotten the most attention from these,
yeah,
is a dude who goes to this girl's house. The dad is like, hey, I'm gonna be leaving for like 3 hours, so like, you two better be good. Like, as almost like as he describes it, like even like a wink of like, I know you guys are going to fuck while I'm gone.
Right.
She then is like showing off underwear or bathing suits to him.
Holy shit.
And is like, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. I mean, maybe like, how do I look in this bathing suit, in this underwear? To which he changes the subject to, wait for it, Warcraft 3 fan fiction.
Oh.
That he'd written.
That he'd written.
Warcraft 3 fan.
Like, oh, well, yeah, fiction. Those lacy underwear remind me of this story I wrote about an orc and a troll.
So I tell her about it. She's like, oh, I'm really interested. I'm like, yeah, well, if you ever want to see him sometime, like, yeah, I'd like to go see him. I was like, well, my dorm's, you know, right just, you know, down the hall. He was like, oh, it's great. Can we go see him? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so we come, and I'm like, and I'm playing, you know, seven-second looped animations of just a flyover of an island. and
I'm sure she's doing her best to be really interested.
She's
in
so
this,
interested.
Right?
I mean, she must just really like VistaPro animations.
Only she liked you.
And then it's like, ah, well, what do you want to do now? It's like, I don't know. I got Pink Floyd's The Wall over at my dorm room.
This is what she tells you.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's go watch Pink Floyd's The Wall. And then we go in, and it's like, oh, and at this point you could tell there's some kind of chemistry, but it's like, again, I had no game at closing any kind of deal. Like, yeah, we had to already be in a relationship, and somebody had to tell me, like, oh, no, yeah, we fucked now. This is what happens.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You had to get it signed in triplicate in the mail.
I'm like, are you sure
Notary Public
is what you want to do? I don't want to pressure you.
I
still have a hard time closing the deal with Katie. So I'm like, what do you want to do tonight? I'm like, I'd really love some ice cream.
And so we go back, and it's like, you know, it's like we're laying in the bed together watching Pink Floyd's The Wall. And I swear, I don't know how we got here. But at some point, there was a logical reason, because it was hot, I guess. I think I was saying, like, man, it's really hot. You're like, yeah, there's no AC in this room. You can take off your shirt or something like that. It was literally something like that.
Yeah.
And then we laid there. And
so wait, you took off your shirt?
Yeah. We laid in her bed.
To make these rifles burst.
We laid in her bed with me with my shirt off, watched the movie, and then, you know, dozed for a couple hours. And then it was like, well, it's late. And off I went.
But baby, it's cold outside.
So wait, did you ever see her again? Like,
but it was like, it's an awkward thing because, like, it's, you know, early on, you're so obsessed with, you know, finding the one or whatever. Like, I never went through a phase. Like, nowadays, if I was in that situation, I could wrap my mind around the idea and have the language to say, hey, I really dig you. I'm not looking for a long-term thing, but wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be hilarious?
And you know, you take off your pants slowly, and she starts cracking up. It's great.
And so, but the point is, like,
we got that, a fucking Red Cloud news on your dickhead, like
that kind of.
And you should see my squirting flower.
This, I turn around and spread my cheeks. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Squirting flower. So
she takes a pie to the face.
So I couldn't, I didn't have the words or the ability to communicate that I'd like to fool around with long-term entanglements. Because, you know, you eventually learn how to say those things and get on the same page, and you can fool around and it's no big deal. I never had that at that time. So it's like I knew, you know, it's cool that this girl likes me. I really enjoy that she likes me, but I'm not going to marry her. So I don't know. I don't want to make it look like,
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yes.
And then you're like, did I just say that out loud?
Exactly. So as a result, that's part of the reason I had that paralysis and was unable to try for anything.
I picture her saying, I know it's really hot in here. You can take off your shirt if you want. And you screaming, I'm not going to marry you! And then run out.
That's kind of how it was. So after that, it was just this awkward, like, I'd see her from time to time. I'm like, oh, hi. And even, like, after college, I think I saw her at the club where I first started performing, at the Electric Lounge, performing after the Asylum Street Spankers. I saw her once or twice, but by that point I was dating Bonnie, and it was like dude, too weird to acknowledge you exist, lady.
So she would say hello and you'd scream, I'm going to marry someone else.
It's probably her. I think I got it.
That's the biggest thing that I think that I learned reading so many of the emails was the other end of the dunderheadedness of the person who is ignoring the signals is immediately paralleled by how hurt the person that put themselves out there is, or how much it can be held against like the person. Because like, as much as the person who didn't realize what was happening is, you know, kind of being sort of absent-minded about it, it is being read as a straight rejection.
Yeah. And plus, like in the most clumsy of terms, too. Like, didn't even bother to dress it up. Couldn't even explain, you know, just refused me.
He sent me a text that said, maybe later.
But it's amazing, because after we did the first round of it, we got so many more. And there were, like, it goes across, you know, race, creed, color, and sexual orientation. Like the total fucking dunderheaded neon sign story is universal.
I just thought of a really good one that I will tease now, but I won't deliver because I don't remember the setup perfectly, but I have it all in writing. And I can bring that to the table
on the next Brepisode. What is the setting? Like, what is the
it involves
in general?
My wife.
Okay.
And a boyfriend application.
Ooh. Oh shit. I actually think I know. I think I've heard this story. This is a very, very, very good story. Fuck, man. So this is normally where we about wrap it up, but I can't think if there's anything else that we want to go over on the show. We understand this is a bit of a weird episode. I do thank everybody for being patient with me and not expecting the full big jury show experience. We have more neon sign stories, for the record. There will be more neon sign stories that have been sent in since the second one that we will read on next week's episode, as well as all the normal horse or shittery. Actually, no, here. I don't have the sounder on this new iPad yet. We'll do a real quick politics end cap to get us up to the 50-minute mark, which is normally where we like to go. There's been big political news over the last couple days, specifically the reemergence and sputtering, or at least the challenging of the Hillary Clinton campaign. She comes out and is like kind of trying to raise her profile. All of a sudden, it's revealed that she had a separate email account while she was Secretary of State. That, for whatever reason, there's good reasons, but that is a no-no. So let me just ask you guys this, and not to break down the Hillary Clinton thing or anything, but who is our next president? Who do you think? You can lay money on anybody. Who is the next president of the United States?
The problem with the presidential race is that it so closely nowadays echoes Mario Kart. So I feel like whoever's going to win is in last place right now, and we have never even heard of him.
I mean, I hate to say it. I think there's every if I was placing money, I'd throw it at Jeb Bush.
Jeb?
I hate thinking that that's the case. But to be honest, I actually feel like this might be a spoiler year. This could be a third party candidate coming in, and my guess is we're going to hate the two main candidates.
Well, this would be a bad year for a third party candidate because there's going to be so much oxygen taken up because there's a double primary.
Yeah,
normally third party candidates do best when there's an incumbent or a very strong, like if Biden was really strong, if everybody loved the Obama Biden administration and Biden wasn't so Biden about everything.
sure.
And he was running as a super strong person, so the Democratic side was kind of a formality.
Yeah.
Then you could see a far left third party candidate look to do well because the progressives would feel like he's too establishment. Or on the other side, when you have somebody that is more conservative like Ross Perot was. So this would be a hard year for a third party thing, but it's a good year for fringe elements inside the parties, you know, or what is what would previously be considered not quite the institution. So it's like it's a good year for the Rand Pauls of the world. It's a bad year for the like
well,
Gary
that's
Johnson,
that's the problem,
libertarian
right?
candidate.
Like, I suspect that Rand Paul, if he was going to be president, he would not be as popular as he is right now. But because he's the front runner, the straw poll winner at CPAC 2 years in a row, I think he's going to peak too early. He's going to have front runner syndrome, and they're going to figure out some way to ruin him early.
Well, Rand Paul's problem is not necessarily, you know, he's got good tools going into it. The question is how well he knife fights.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, look at Romney three times, you know, like he each time had all the internal tools to be president, including money, including, you know, looked like a guy that would be the president. He did not know how to knife fight. And
yeah.
He got knifed repeatedly. And, you know, he successfully played along with the idea that a Mormon, you know, dude with like 90 grandchildren who should be this like, hey, I'm the father to the world. Like, I know what you're going through, people, because I've had a daughter your age, you know?
Yeah.
Instead turned into Mr. Burns, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you get defined like that, then that's your problem. And what Rand Paul's going to have to deal with is he's got to be his dad while not being his dad.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be the less principled element of his dad without the like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's just like when Ron Paul just gets fully fucking like, you know, pamphleteer cranked up, you know?
Right, right. Well, but and I guess that's the other problem he's going to have is the risk of alienating, you know, the psychopathically strong following of Ron Paul enthusiasts. He might alienate them because he does know how to speak in moderation and to be direct to. I mean, certainly the most cards on the table, like this is right, this is wrong, this, that, and the other thing.
Listen, you got to be, you want to win, you got to be more Dave Matthews Band than Fish. You know, you've got to be like a little bit, you got to sand those edges, you know, the, you know, not every night can you do the 40-minute guitar solo. Maybe like only at one or two concerts a year can you
also
do it, you know?
Just like with Dave Matthews Band, it helps to have a violin playing black guy on your side.
Oh, dude, I mean, that's a given, right?
I mean,
right.
Number one. Yeah, as we've seen through history, the key to the White House is a violin playing black guy next to you. You know, I remember, you know, you have Ronald Reagan.
Taft is the one you're thinking
Taft,
of.
Well, really he was the first off. One, yeah, who was just like, here's my Secretary of State, violin playing black guy. And then they made a movie of it.
And I just realized we never got to commit Mr. Jokes to audio. That exists only in the ether of our bullshitting around with each other.
No, well, we did.
Oh, no, that's right. We did.
Yeah, we did it during the marriage.
But Brett wasn't there. That's
Brett
what
was not
I was.
There.
Okay. No, it was so much better with three of you on one side of the table.
It was really good. No, we did. That's a tease for the merit tapes. We did record. If you're part of the Night Attack Patreon, then you will know very soon that the merit tapes have been recorded and you will begin to see those. We'll start to put that whole plan into action when we reorganize the Patreon levels, but one of them is an interview with Mr. Jokes.
Yeah. Although we definitely did not get the follow up where he runs into the three of them later.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
There was, yeah, we were just fucking around.
As a job.
We, man.
We'll save, save not, it.
Yeah, there's
save
not a whole it, lot we it. Can say without kind of totally spoiling the one note joke on what Mr. Jokes' first name is.
We have a one note joke, and the note is E flats. Wait for it.
Brett,
yep.
Where can people find you?
Don't bother looking for me. Look for Mission Pick.
Yeah. How's that
going? Find it on Twitter, Mission Pick on Twitter, or you can just go to missionpick.com.
You guys are blowing up.
Hopefully. I would love to explode. That'd be great.
No, I mean like.
No. It's just like, that'd be great.
It means you're lighting it on fire for the insurance money, basically.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to start raising money soon. So if any people happen to know people who have lots of money that are listening, send them my way.
Is that a little nerve-wracking?
It's not yet, but only because the first meeting with the lawyer isn't until Wednesday. I'm sure Wednesday afternoon it'll be very nerve-wracking.
What do you think will be the most nerve-wracking part about it? Like the fact that people are putting money into your hands and now you have to make the money or light it on fire. And
yeah,
fail.
Already I've run into the thing where like my dad wants to throw in money into the pot.
Yeah.
And so that's always a like, well, I don't want to tell my dad, no, he can't, and then would have made lots of money for him.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't want to tell him, yes, that's awesome, and then lose his entire retirement savings.
What do you think about that, Brian?
I think it's pretty much a slam dunk. I think that he has invested so much in everything up to date that what you do is you take no money, you get filthy rich, and
give
you
give it to him anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Brian, what do you got? Any big
to
big
promote
things to promote or anything?
You know what? Let's talk about the podcast awards and
how
everyone should go. We actually have to vote as soon as we're
we
done
do.
Here. T2.eu/podawards. This is we were talking about this before. It is astonishing to me. Years and years, for 5 years, we keep getting nominated for podcast awards, and it always doesn't look remotely fun to run for them because we're always up against friends. And it's like, I'm not going to campaign against my friends. And this year, it just amazing roll of the dice. All the Frog Pants shows, Daily Tech News show, Night Attack, all of them, best buddies, BFFs, forevers, all none of them competing with anyone we know or care about. And it's like,
I mean,
this is the slate. And the folks, if you go there, you can get the bookmarklet.
Still T2T2.eu/podawards.
I think we got like four more days of voting.
.eu/podawards.
And it is just a popularity contest. The numbers, it's so frustrating to go through the voting process and then verify your vote.
Yeah.
That I guarantee you the winner has maybe 500-700 votes or something like that.
Yeah, it's such a massive pain in the ass, and it's not well laid out.
Which is why we want you guys to go through with it, because a very small, dedicated team will win this thing.
Once per day, per IP address. So just keep that in mind, wink, when you're voting. And you are a liar, Brian.
I am a liar?
Yeah. Well, we are running against a friend of ours.
This is Squarespace?
And you had to throw them under the bus.
No, we're not friends anymore. See, that's
the
nice thing.
Did you stop becoming friends with your Hacking the System co-host, Jason Murphy?
Yeah. No, screw him. I'm voting for the slate. The instance was up against Rage Select. So I told everyone, like, hey, man, here's the slate. They got this awesome thing, Frog Pants or whatever. And one dude on Twitter loses his shit.
Yeah.
He's just like, the fuck would you do that to Jason Murphy? What do you hate Rage Select? You're an asshole.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, sorry, man. Look, I didn't make the bookmarklet. You know, vote for whatever you want. Yeah, we love Rage Select.
Yeah, of course.
And then he's like messaging Jason, like, you want me to take him down? And Jason's like, no, it's cool. Jesus, no.
No. Yeah, Jason had to go like talk down a vigilante. And he's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Just fucking let me know if you... It's like, no, again, no. Like, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
We don't think that we have a shot. And also, we were against Rooster Teeth as well as the instance. And they'll probably win because they win at everything.
Yeah. Unless they're too busy making movies and stuff and just forget to tell everyone that they have a podcast award. So.
Yeah, dude. They're just...
I mean, they may... I mean, to be honest, like... It may be that it's not worth any bandwidth on any of their programming to bother to mention that they're up for a podcast award, in which case it would just be the value of their brand versus a small, dedicated team of hardcore Diamond Club.
Will we win? Nobody knows. Except
it's provocative.
T2T2.eu/pod awards.
4 more days, I think.
But if you find yourself unable to get to a computer... You find yourself screaming, I'm not going to marry you, when somebody puts their hand on your leg. If you find yourself at the end of your rope, well, friends, please remember that this is your old pal Justin Robert Young telling you to please don't die.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.